Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, the compassionate divorce coach of Coaching for Divorced Women. And today we have a very special guest and a good friend, Kelly Schweigel, who, and I'll share a personal note here. I met her February of last year, and she had a phenomenal story. We shared a stage together at an event in Ojai, California, and she had a phenomenal story that she told, and maybe she'll elaborate during this radio show. But we also connected, and on a personal level, while I was going through my transition last year, she was very supportive of me, for me, and of me, in order to get through my transitions that I was going through last year. So on a personal level, I truly trust her wisdom that she shares, and she's phenomenal, and I'm glad to have her. So Cindy, Kelly, welcome. How you guys? How you ladies doing?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Al. And I'm doing wonderful too. And welcome to our show, Kelly. Before we get started, I do want to remind our listeners that if you go to facebook.com/groups/ your toxic relationship dance, you can ask either Al, I, or Kelly a question, or you can write comments about what we're talking about. And I do monitor this page during the live show. You can also go, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio page, you can interact with Al in the chat room. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 713-955-0561. And with that, Ms. Kelly, I would love to hear a little bit about what you do.
Okay. Well, actually, my degrees are all in education. So I actually come from a very structured background, a very conservative background as a principal. And I've got my director of special ed and superintendent license. But most recently in the educational world, I was working as a trainer and developer for a state agency in Wisconsin. Having said that, I've also been very clairvoyant all my life, very intuitive. I started speaking to my guides at age 8, and I began seeing premonitions and visions by the time I was 19. And so it just got to the point where it had progressed so much that that I realized I needed to leave the educational world and really start to work in understanding how to heal holistically, how to use my clairvoyance, which I really find is such a beautiful gift to help people to see something different within themselves. And probably the largest thing I work on is emotional clearing and helping people to learn how to love themselves at a very deep level. So I've started a few different things throughout that, and one of them is, obviously I do private sessions, but I've also started something called the Inner Wisdom Circle to teach people about this life, about navigating this journey, about understanding more about why they should love themselves and how they can learn to forgive others and themselves. And so much of that relates to what you are all talking about. And I do apologize. There are some sirens going by right now, so it's going to get a little loud.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Some things we just can't help.
right.
Yes. And I'd love that you went over to help, you know, using your clairvoyance to help people with the self-love. And, you know, especially where relationships are concerned, is there anything in particular that you find to be with the clients that you work with to be a repeatable situation or challenge that people face?
Yeah, and actually there are so many, and every, you know, I've worked with thousands of clients, and so much it's almost all of it is about relationships because that's our life. But one of the things that I realized is that I started to see these patterns that were happening with people, and the patterns had to do with really understanding that I was actually led to the phases of alchemy. So the book that I'm finishing up right now is called The Art of Inner Alchemy, which is why the title of what we're talking about today is The Art of Inner Alchemy. And so I started to notice that there are stages or phases that people go through. And one of the first phases that we all have to go through is understand our own personal human conditioning and how that relates to how we perceive everyone around us. How we perceive what the relationship is, whether it's healthy or not healthy. And I'm sorry, now there's a big truck going by. I keep trying to walk away from it, and it's just following me. I'm apologizing. I should have found a more quiet location. I thought that I did. So this whole piece about the relationships and understanding that we kind of follow this progression of going through developing human conditioning in our life. Once we develop this human conditioning, then it's a matter of us having the ability to see what it is and how it affects us. Once we can see how this human conditioning actually affects us, then we can start to release and learn to forgive. So I teach people things like understanding betrayal, understanding victimization, understanding how we project what our hurt is on people around us. And all of that affects the relationships that are in our circle.
So Kelly, let me ask you this then. So and going along with your how you explain things. So if we're going through the human condition, and through the human condition, it's how our perceptions are created and how we view other people. How do we wake up from that? If of all our lives we've been conditioned in a certain way, and therefore our perceptions are influenced because of that human conditioning. How do we wake up to the fact that what we think we are seeing is not really actually what we're seeing?
Well, you know what, some of this takes a very natural progression. We have to amass all of the mistakes and successes and hurts and, you know, empowerment. All of the equation needs to be complete for us to be able to wake up and move through it, because we have to develop enough human conditioning that we're actually going to learn, you can call it our soul, or you can call it just yourself, your self-growth. You have to amass enough of these experiences or human conditioning to be able to move. And then what happens naturally is that there are one of a few things that I've seen happen very consistently. One thing that might happen is you might hit rock bottom and say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't have a toxic relationship. I can't bring in people who are manipulating. I can't get in all this drama. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. So you might hit that point. Or you might all of a sudden just realize, you know what, I feel like I need to, like, something needs to change. And suddenly the right speaker comes in. People tune into the right radio show. Or they might pick up a book. Or someone comes into their life to help them to change. And it's basically what they're doing is their soul or their beingness is kind of calling out to the universe saying, bring me something. I'm ready for a change. And the universe says, oh, great, here you go. And so there's something that comes in because either they called for it or they just said, I can't do this anymore.
And I love what you said, and I can really relate this to myself. And, you know, I always say the conditioning, it makes everything be a habit. Everything we do in life is a habit, from the way we talk, the way we think, the way we walk, the way we eat. And I know for myself, I was so conditioned because of my childhood, because of my first husband and everything. But I had, whenever I met my first mentor coach, she told me, Cindy, your life is your choice. And that was such a eye-opening statement to me, because I was 35 years old and nobody had ever told me that my life was my choice. And I wanted to add that because, and I say it a lot, and our listeners probably hear this a lot from me, is that their life is their choice. But just I think hearing that opened my eyes and led me further into my own self-improvement, my own self-growth, and my own self-love, realizing that I didn't have to, that I didn't have to let everybody else choose my life for me, that I actually had a say in it.
Right. You know, and I even talk about that from a more of an esoteric level of saying that even before you came here into this body, you knew what you were getting into. You couldn't wait to get into the human conditioning because you knew that human conditioning is the only thing that can help you understand unconditional love. And how do we expand our souls? How do we expand who we are? We do that through this hardship, because if everything is going well, why change, right? So we have to make things not go so well so that we can look at what's not working within us. So it's all perfect.
Yeah, and, it's interesting you said, and I believe with you too, is that we know, what we're getting into as souls, and different people that I've spoken to, because I've had what people call an Oprah life. The first 40 years of my life was just full of sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. And so once I started getting out of it and learning about myself and growing, and I've spoken to different clairvoyances, they've all told me that my soul wanted to experience everything that I wanted to help people with. So I love that you said that, because I think we all have a purpose. And whenever you look at all these horrible things that are happening to you, if there's something in you, you can say there's a reason for it, even though you may never know what that reason is. It is helping you to grow and learn and change your perception.
Yes, and that's so funny that you said that, because go ahead. Sorry, Al.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to say, it's so funny that you say that, because I actually went through that same thing and said to my guides, why? Why did I have to go through all this? If I can hear you so clearly, why did I have to go through this? And they laughed and they said, well, how would you have any compassion for the people you're working with if you didn't go through this? Of course you're going through it, and you're human, and you're going to continue to go through it.
Right.
So based on what both of you ladies are saying, you know, we signed up for this classroom effect type of thing, or experiences that we're going through. But my question to both of you is hitting bottom, rock bottom, is that necessary?
Well, I can actually just say from the experiences that I've had with myself and my clients is that if you don't hit the rock bottom, everything's going well, so why change? So it's almost as though it has to get bad enough for you to say, you know what, something, this has got to give. Something has to give. And you know, we don't make these major adjustments inside of ourselves or look at what isn't working if everything is going fine.
And know that rock bottom is different for everybody. You know, sometimes,
yes.
You know, whenever we see rock bottom, you think of different things. But I know when I left my first husband, I had told my boss, she was surprised that I actually left him, and so everybody thought I had this great marriage, and I just said, hey, I was a good actress. But I said, I got to the point where I either had to give up and die or leave. Those were like my only two choices. And she said, because I didn't feel that I was courageous in leaving the relationship, and she was telling me how courageous I was. And I said, I wasn't courageous. These were my choices, either give up and die or leave. And she said, but that was courageous for you to step out of the situation, that you chose to leave and you didn't choose to give up and die. And that, again, was something else that was an eye-opener for me. But I can remember thinking that, and I can remember before I hit that, is sitting there praying that Earl would die, because I thought if he died, all of my problems would go away. And that in itself is pretty rock bottom whenever you pray for somebody to die so all your problems go away.
Right, right. And, you know, and the interesting thing that I've witnessed is that they don't go away. If that person goes away, they'll just bring in someone else just like it.
Exactly.
Been there.
Exactly.
I understand that situation. Okay, so here's an interesting aspect. So if either through a friendship or a job relationship, or even with a significant other, if you're in a toxic relationship and it's to some degree painful, because it is toxic, and you're dealing with it and working with it, so if hitting rock bottom is beneficial, do you just go ahead and let it go and say, oh, you know what, screw it. You know, I might as well hit bottom because it's bad enough as it is, and there's a lesson here for me to learn. Do you just let it go, or do you stop it there and say, okay, I'm not going to hit bottom. I'm going to get out of this relationship and do something with my life?
And I see this as exactly what Cindy was saying, is that it's different for everyone. And you know, one person's level of rock bottom is going to be very different than another. And we always have that choice. And I think the biggest key for people to move through this more quickly is to always look inside, to always ask, why am I bringing this situation into me? What is this situation trying to mirror for me? What is it trying to reflect for me that I need to see within myself? And there are seven different ways that people in situations will reflect to us what it is that we need to know about our own personal growth. And so if we keep looking and turning it back inside of ourselves and not project out at someone else through blame or look what you did or look at how bad you are, and we keep looking inside, then we're going to move through that rock bottom a little at a faster pace. We don't have to hit quite as rock bottom.
And, yeah, there's something else, too, whenever even to see if you're in a toxic relationship or where you are. I received this email from one of our listeners, and I would love your input on it, Ms. Kelly. because I think it goes along with what we're speaking about, especially with the self-love and whenever we're opening our eyes. She's in a relationship. This girl's in a relationship, and her boyfriend continuously accuses her of cheating. And she says she has never cheated. She's never even thought of cheating. She said they were thinking about beginning a family together. However, she doesn't want to start a family with him if he thinks that she's cheating. Now, I have my own ideas about this situation, but I would love your input.
Well, one of the words that I used just before is called projection. And people usually accuse others or judge others or reflect onto others what it is that they're concerned about or what they need to heal within their own self. So whatever it is that is broken inside, we tend to throw at other people. And so if there is a projection coming her way from him about cheating, it's not that he's necessarily cheating. I mean, that could certainly be, but it's more that there's a concern there for him, that he has a paranoia or a fear or a lack of self-worth, something happening within him. You never know what it is with someone. It could be that maybe his parents, were unfaithful and he witnessed that. So there's a fear inside of him. But what that is a projection. It doesn't mean you don't have to have children with him or not be married to them, but you have to be eyes wide open to understand that there is a concern or there's a charge around that aspect, or he wouldn't be projecting it at her. Someone in balance and someone in health in themselves have no interest in projecting their things onto anyone else. And usually they're not conscious they're doing it.
Right. I love your answer.
Dealing with pain, so say, okay, see, now you understand that through human conditioning, you go through these perceptions, and then you wake up one day and realize that your perceptions have been incorrect all this time. And now you realize in the relationship you're in, wherever, if it's a friendship or your job or a significant other, it's not the right relationship. And then the hurt and the anger, the disappointment, the sadness, the pain all starts coming up. How does inner alchemy work with that? How can you use inner alchemy to get through the pain?
Oh, gosh. There's so much in that.
I want to add something in there, too, Kelly, before you answer. It's because I caught it whenever Al had said projecting, that you've been projecting wrong. I sort of don't think we ever project wrong. I think we project where we are, and then we grow and we realize there's other projections. So if you go ahead and answer the question and include that in there, I would appreciate it.
I love it. You just said how I was going to open, because I agree with you 100%. We're so aligned in the way that we believe and think. And one of the things that I think about is that a lot of my clients very often want to say, God, I wasted all this time in that relationship, whether it's a friendship or a love relationship. And I'm like, you didn't waste any time at all. This was absolutely perfect. What did you learn from this relationship? Well, I learned to be strong. Well, how beautiful is that? It's perfect. There's no wasting time. We're not on a journey to get somewhere. We're in this moment right now, and we're experiencing. And so I always talk about to people about always understanding that whatever it is that came in is perfect. It is beautiful. And so I never look at it as a bad thing. I always look at it as good. When it comes to alchemy, I want to quickly run through something, at least the first four stages of alchemy, because alchemy has seven stages. And alchemy has been around for thousands of years. And there are different types of alchemy. There's the alchemy that will change metal into gold. And then there's the spiritual alchemy, which is, really transforming yourself from something impure to something pure. And that's what alchemy, the definition of alchemy is. The first stage of alchemy is called calcination, and that's getting burned by life. That's our human conditioning. So in traditional alchemy, they would actually burn down a plant or an animal into a white ash, and then they would pulverize it, and then they would burn it down again. And if you think of our beginning of our life, that's what we did. We created our human conditioning. We get pulverized by it, and then we get burned again by it. And now we've got everything we need to move. That's when that speaker or that person or someone comes in to change us or to assist us in our growth. The second stage is called disillusion. And what happens is the alchemist will dissolve the ash now using something like an acid, and will dissolve it down to separate out the impure. And in our human conditioning, what happens is that we actually go through a process of learning to forgive our younger selves or heal our younger selves. Forgive those who brought victimization or abuse or trauma or things our way. Once we can go through this dissolving what are the false beliefs about ourselves or others, or dissolve this negativity, we can move into the third stage, which is called separation. And so the alchemists will use air to actually separate out these impure pieces. What happens in our body is this. We separate from the ego. The ego has three purposes. It's to keep us looking for love, acceptance, and importance outside of ourselves. So what happens is that we step away from the ego and we look at it, and you can say things like this. Ooh, there's my ego wanting to keep me a victim. And I personally, Kelly Schwegel, was a victim in her life to her illnesses. I would tell everybody who came around about how ill I was and how many illnesses I had, my broken vertebrae, my deformed hips, everything that happened. Oh, goodness, I was a victim. And eventually, I had to step away and see the ego at work. You know, so once we can separate from the ego, then we can really start to heal. And these are the stages that we need to go through to really understand healing relationships. So there are seven stages to alchemy, but I won't go on. But those three are really critical.
That is so interesting. I've never heard the stages of alchemy before, as elegantly as what you just did. But it makes so much sense with the healing of any relationship. You know, I always say everybody wants the same thing. They want to be loved and accepted for who they are. And once you love and accept yourself for who you are, then you're really putting it out there to the universe, allowing other people to love and accept you as you are, which is all
right.
Projection. So I can see where it goes in with the separation of the ego.
Right. Right. If we can't separate from the ego, then we can't see. Because if we're continuously looking for love and acceptance outside of ourselves, we don't realize that you have the love and acceptance inside of you all along. It's an innate part of you. And then you have to see the ego at work, how it keeps you in a relationship, any type of relationship, blaming them, judging them, being angry and frustrated with their behavior, you know, telling them about everything that they're doing wrong, you know, the laundry list of what they did wrong. All of that is going to keep you from looking at the fact that you've already got all the love you need.
Right.
It's all
and, you
right
know, years ago, I went to this retreat. It was an inner peace retreat, but I went to this retreat, and when they had this exercise, basically, and it was sort of like a rebirthing type exercise, where to go into the womb and feel your mother's love and stuff, and go on. And part of it is, I know I had a very good relationship with my mother, but my mother definitely was a victim, and I was in. I used to say my dysfunctional family made the word dysfunctional. But as an adult, that was my thing, because it was, you know, it was so normal to us, which is odd, but between the physical, the emotional, and the sexual abuse that went on in that house, it was crazy. But I couldn't pick up any love at all, and I was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And so the leader, she knows, and one thing everybody knows is my current husband, how much he loves me. They say, you know, you can just look at Mike and see the love that he has for me. And so she, being as wise as she was, had me tap into Mike's love. And she said, now, Mike's not here. So he's not loving you here, because he's not here to love you. That's your own self-love, loving yourself. And which, again, was another eye-opener to me. It's like, wow, I really can love myself, you know, and because I was always hiding under the wings of Mike's love. It's like, well, Mike loves me. But that was such a huge awakening for me, because it allowed me to open up and love myself, which is definitely what's needed for you to grow into your brilliance and really do whatever it is you're on this earth to do. Even, you know, and don't think that, hey, I'm just a mom, or I'm just an HR person or whatever, because we're all here for a purpose, and whatever purpose that is, that's your role in life. And it could be being a stay-at-home mom, and it could be being a teacher. It could be being a coach or an author. So there's so many different levels, and don't ever compare yourself to somebody, because you're here for a purpose, and it's just learning to tap into that love.
Right. Right. Kelly, that's very beautifully stated.
Kelly, I'm sure that the rest of the audience would love to hear the other four stages if you're willing to share with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So after you go through the stages of really understanding that your human conditioning was perfect in the calcination stage, and you understand that dissolving all these false beliefs that you're not good enough and you're not enough and your whatever your statements were, when you can dissolve those and heal your younger youth, and you move into the separation stage where you can see the ego at work, then you're ready to come into what's called the conjunction. Conjunction stage means that you are conjoined, or you're joining together opposites. So you balance your masculine and feminine energies, your push versus your internal power, or force versus internal power, your giving and receiving, your left brain and right brain. All of these opposites start to come into balance, and you start to realize that you can operate from this beautiful, loving space inside of you instead of the mental aspect. You bring balance to everything. The fifth stage, then, after you go through that, this is a tough one. There are two parts to this stage. It's called the fermentation stage, and they also call that the dark night of the soul. And so I actually use a reference of Darth Vader in this, and I talk about in this, I start out my chapter of the book saying that, you know, you underestimate the power of the dark side. And this stage is tough because it's got two phases. The first phase, what happens is that you end up getting into this place of understanding that that there is a deep, visceral childhood issue that must be healed, and it can't truly heal until you go through the conjunction stage. Once you go through the conjunction stage and you can actually bring up this very deep, visceral place, for me, it was understanding that I couldn't be betrayed. So there was a massive piece of betrayal that came into my existence so that I could understand that I can't be betrayed if I love myself. After you go through that part of the fermentation, you then get into what they call the golden wax. You actually can shine this beautiful golden part of yourself that can come forward to say, oh, my God, I'm good enough just as I am. I am really good enough just as I am. Once you hit that, you hit the next stage, and that next stage is called the distillation. So I talk a lot about accelerators that happen in each of these, and in this stage, you actually distill off of your being some of the accelerators that help you to move, like anger, frustration, resentment, all these old habits that once served you no longer serve you, so your body has to go through, you have to go through a phase of letting them go. So once you go through this distillation phase and you've distilled off what doesn't serve you, what isn't functioning behaviorally, now you can enter the last stage, which is called it's coagulation is what it is. And think about how your blood coagulates, becomes thicker and stronger so that you don't bleed out. Well, this is also happening in your last stage, which means that you're a stronger, thicker, more resilient, more loving you. You are deeper. You are wiser. Those are the stages, and they're amazing.
Do you continuously go through the stages, you know, like with the stages of grief, you can hop back and forth between them, or you can recycle through them. So with the stages of alchemy, can you also recycle through them?
Oh, you sure do. And this was actually the hardest part to write in my book. The editor and I went through it and through it and through it to finally say, we almost can't describe this because it's so complex. It's so multidimensional, these layers. So you might start a layer maybe you're trying to learn about self-love, or maybe you're trying to learn that you can't be betrayed, or maybe you're trying to move through fear or empowerment. All of these can be at different stages of the alchemical process. So you might have multiple stages running at multiple times. Then you can also add in your soul growth. Just like your body ages through time, from baby to infant to young to mature to old, so does your soul. And so your soul might be at a particular alchemical stage. And then in this lifetime, you're at multiple different alchemical stages. And then you've got your overall growth, which is at an alchemical stage. So you can see how complex it is.
Yes.
All right.
I could talk to you forever and ever and ever. And I wanted to bring up to Al real quick, because I know we're running out of time. But see, Al, you just keep projecting all the same types of woman business partners into your life, like Kelly and I and other guests that you've had on the show. I see where so many of us are very similar in our nature. And I don't know if you've ever seen that, Al, but I have started to see that, so I wanted to bring that up to you.
Cool. Okay, well, thank you for sharing. And you're right, ladies, we're out of time, so very quickly, Kelly, do you have any announcements?
I do. Please look for my book, The Art of Inner Alchemy. It should be released in the next 2 months. And you can also find me. I've got two different websites. There's kellyschweigel.com. And then you could also find me through the, it's called The Classes a Week, in a wisdom circle. And we've got members that just join, and we go through lessons and workbooks and just healing through these alchemical stages. It's a beautiful community that we've built.
Awesome. How do they get a hold of you?
So kellyschweigel.com is my email is Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at kellyschweigel.com. Or you can find me on theinnerwisdomcircle.com. And those are the two best ways to find me.
Awesome. And for the audience, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com, phenomenal co-host. And have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. You can get a hold of me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific is our wonderful show, as you just heard Kelly and Cindy. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Ladies, Kelly and Cindy, you guys rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
And you rock.
Thank you, Al.
And big love to all of our listeners.
Yes, thank you all. And Cindy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.